Welcome to Geography 101, where every episode takes you a deeper into the stories, landscapes, and culture that shape our world. And today I have my special guest. She is my avid guest. She is instructional designer, author, college professor, and of course, a fellow podcast host. Other than Miss Jackie Pellegrin.
Hi, Daniel. Nice to see you.
Sorry for that. And can you please introduce more about yourself, Miss Jackie?
Sure. So I've been in the field of instructional design and higher education almost 20 years. Hard to believe it's coming up on 20 years. And I love doing it. And I teach. I've been doing that for about 4 years, teach higher education. And then I also, as you said, I'm a author and I'm writing my first book. Hopefully that'll be out next year. And then I have my own podcast and you got the website right there.
Yes. So. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and wisdom to the world.
Yes.
Miss Jackie. And today, let's talk about your favorite place.
Yes, Arizona. I'm a native of Arizona, born and raised in Phoenix, and I live in a suburb of Phoenix now. But yeah, I've been living here my whole life, and it's kind of interesting because Arizona became a state on February 14th, 1912, on Valentine's Day, and my podcast is Designing with Love, so I didn't really realize that until you pulled up my website and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So kind of a neat correlation there.
Arizona indeed. So while the canyon is an icon, what is a lesser known breathtaking landscape in Arizona that truly surprised you and deserves more attention?
Oh, yes. Oh, there's so many great places in Arizona, but I would say Sedona. A lot of people actually probably know about Sedona because there's this whole thing of the vortex and everything, but mm-hmm. Sedona is really a beautiful state. There's the red rocks and there's this church that's there and it's embedded in the red rocks. It's been there for a long time, I think since the 60s. But it's really beautiful and you can go there and visit that. They have the red Jeep tours that you can take and they have Oak Creek Canyon that's right there. So if it's not too chilly, if it's nice time of year, you can go, there in Oak Creek Canyon and dip your feet in the water and go shopping and all kinds of stuff. So I love that. Another place that's really fun, if I had to pick another one, would be Prescott, but the locals here say Prescott. It's not how it's spelled. It's spelled Prescott, but a lot of people say Prescott. So it's kind of funny how I tend to do that too. My mom's like, that's not how it's spelled. And I'm like, I know, but that's just the way we say it. But that's really neat too. It's a neat place and they have a lot of really great stuff there and it's a small town. So someday I'd like to actually move up there. I'm hoping in the next couple of years or so to move up there or even maybe in that area because it's a nice blend. It's not too hot. You don't get the heat in the summertime.
Summer. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause yeah, it gets pretty hot here, but then it's not too cold in the wintertime because the further north you go towards the Grand Canyon, mm-hmm. it gets really cold in the winter and you get the snow, which people wouldn't imagine that Arizona would be like that, that it's that diverse, but yeah, they have snowball if they're in Flagstaff and you do get a good amount of snow, in the winter. So Prescott's like right in between that. It's like it's almost like the perfect place. It's small town and they have really cool stuff there. And it's neat too, because they had this devastating fire there, which was really tragic and really sad, but they rebuilt the whole downtown and some of the buildings, like they had taverns there at the time, because it was the Great Fire of 1900, if anyone wants to look it up, devastated mm-hmm. the whole entire downtown. And they had these taverns and they had all that, because during that time, that's what it was like, right? It was the Wild West, as they say. And so there's a couple of them that they actually took the bricks that were burned in the fire that they were able to salvage and they used those to rebuild the buildings. So if you go in some of those buildings and the restaurants and the taverns, you can actually see on the wall the burnt bricks. So it's really neat to actually see that. So Prescott's a really beautiful area too. So yeah, I love Northern Arizona. It's just, it's so diverse and so beautiful. So yeah.
Beautiful indeed. So let's talk about the Sonoran Desert. It's a uniquely lush with saguaro forest. How does this ecosystem and personality differ from the more stark and minimalist beauty of the Mojave in the Northwest?
Yes, I think it's really interesting because we do have those Indian summers that we get here, which may not happen in other places. And we have diverse wildlife here, you know, so it's really neat. So you'll see like a jackal or you'll see javelinas. Make sure not to walk up to a javelina because I used to do dog sitting on the side and I used to dog sit for a couple and their little, they had a son and everything. They had two dogs and they lived in a place called Gold Canyon, which is really far east of me. It's on the other side of, it's like 100 miles one way. So it was really far, but I was walking their dog one day and all of a sudden I saw a couple of javelinas and I was like, okay, let's open the garage and go in there. So yeah, they have a diverse wildlife, for sure. Watch out for snakes. Of course, you know, you never know if a snake's going to be around, but yeah, it's very interesting how diverse it is and how the sunsets and sunrises are just breathtaking here. I've taken so many good photographs. I'm not a, you know, photographer by trade or anything like that, but I love taking photographs and I've captured quite a few. So it's really neat. Like they have Desert Botanical Gardens that's in Phoenix. It's near the Phoenix Zoo. And you can actually see all the native plants and botanicals there that are native to our state. And my mom and I have been there a few times and they do have events there too, which are really great. And you get to learn so much about the diversity of the state and just the ecosystem of it. So it's unique for sure. In what it has. And it's not just a bunch of cacti, you know, there's actually a diverse set of plants and flowers and everything that thrive in this state. And so it's pretty neat to get to learn the biodiversity of Arizona as well.
Yes, Arizona indeed. So Miss Jackie, Arizona is famous for its dark skies. Beyond stargazing, what is the most magical experience you've had under the vast Arizona sky, whether a monsoon lightning show or a serene sunset?
Yes. Yeah, I would say when I was a child, my grandfather took me up in a hot air balloon. Well, actually, I went in several hot air balloons. That was really amazing. And we did one during sunrise, and it was just breathtaking. It was beautiful to go up in this hot air balloon and just soar over the Arizona sky and just, you know, and see the valley and everything. It was really neat. So we just went right over downtown Phoenix, but it was during sunrise and you could see the sun just coming up over Camelback Mountain. And it was breathtaking. I've also been to Lowell Observatory, which is in Flagstaff, Arizona, in Northern Arizona. And that's been there, I believe since the 1800s, been there a long time. And you can go stargazing there and they have a whole research center there. So you can go and do that too. And that's beautiful up there because unlike the city, you don't get to see a lot of the stars in the city. So because of all the lights, right? So if you go up north, you don't have as much of that. So it's really beautiful. And it's like night and day, literally, you know, with the stars. So it's really beautiful to go up to Lowell Observatory. So if anyone is in Arizona, if they're visiting, say, the Grand Canyon, I would say if you have the time, take the opportunity to go to Lowell Observatory because you really get to learn so much and you get to also do the stargazing as well. It's a great experience for sure.
I like the stargazing. Oh my goodness. Just like you're near to the stars.
Yes.
Arizona has a unique sky island. Sorry, isolated mountains, ranges, rising from desert floor. How does ascending one of these, like Mountain Limon, feel like traveling from Mexico to Canada? It's just an hour's drive.
Yes, yeah, it's really neat because what's really cool about Arizona and you know, the diversity of it is that where I live like in the central part of Arizona. So it's of course, you know, desert and cacti and everything. But then, like you said, you can travel 2 hours and you're all of a sudden you're in high country,
Mexico.
what we call high country, and you have the pine trees. So you can literally, Daniel, start driving down the main highway, which is I-17. That's the main highway to get from Phoenix to Flagstaff. And as you're traveling, you get halfway there, and all of a sudden the landscape changes. It goes from desert to pine trees at the snap of just your blink of an eye, right? And all of a sudden, so it's really neat. And then, you know, it changes everything. But what's really neat too is out here in Phoenix, you do have that opportunity to go hiking and biking and things like that. So, you know, Camelback Mountain, you can do that. There's Piestewa Peak as well. So there's lots of great places to be able to look at that landscape and really, you know, take it all in. And so, yeah, it's really fun. They have the, you know, up north, and they have the river rafting at the Grand Canyon. So yeah, there's a little bit for everyone, which I think is really great. And I think that's why a lot of people like visiting here, is there's so much to do and something that fits everyone's style and their interests. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
As well as the budget, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, it's budget friendly.
Arizona's, yes, budget friendly for sure. Arizona scenery is a rich tapestry of Native American, Hispanic, and Anglo, and Wild West cultures. Where do you feel these layers most vividly interact today, outside of a museum?
Oh, yes. You know, what's really interesting. Yes, there's such a diverse culture here, which is great. Yeah, you have the Native Americans, you have you know, all those different cultures. And what's really neat is that they do have like in downtown Phoenix and in other areas, they do have museums that celebrate that and those different cultures. And not only that, but the music, which is really neat. Like they have it's the Musical Instrument Museum, and it's in downtown Phoenix. And I'd like to go there sometime. I haven't been there yet, but it has musical instruments from all over, not only all over the world, but just from different cultures here in Arizona. So they celebrate music and how music is that universal language. So no matter what culture you are, you can appreciate it. So it's really neat. So and then there's like the different heritage museums and things like that. So yeah, so it's really neat to get to know those different areas. And I remember I went to a Native American museum up in Flagstaff because there's a higher concentration of Native Americans up there in northern Arizona, like in Flagstaff and that area. And it was just, I learned so much. I was like, wow, I've lived here all my life, and I knew quite a bit about Native Americans, but to really get to know them was and their culture was amazing. I had more of an appreciation for that. So yeah, so it's really neat when you get to know the different cultures of where you live and the diversity of it. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Miss Jackie, if you had to describe the essence of Arizona using three distinct smells, what would they be?
I would say after a monsoon storm, the smell of the rain after a monsoon storm, that's unique to Arizona, I think. And then also I think too, the Palo Verde trees, they have these little yellow flowers that give out this really nice scent. So I would think that would be the second one. What's the third one? I would say the fry bread here, a lot because of the Hispanics. They make fry bread here that is so good. And it's, so if you can get to a, if you find a food truck or a Mexican restaurant that makes fry bread and they hand make it, it's so good because they put cinnamon and sugar on top of it. And that when that bakes and it has that smell, that just, it's not like any other. Yeah. So
Yes, try it, fry bread. People
yes.
from Arizona, you should be on my Food 101, Miss Jackie, too, okay?
Yeah, I'd love that. You know what? I said Mexican fry bread. I meant to say Indian fry bread. Whoops, I meant to say Indian fry bread. Sorry. Indian fry bread. But the
Indian
Mexican,
fry bread.
the Hispanics, they make churros, which are the cinnamon and sugar things too. So those are good too. So I would say It's a duel between those two. Those are really good. So Indian fry bread smells good, but then those churros. Have you ever had a churro before?
Yes.
Yeah, those are good.
It's like donut that is a squirrel. Squirrel.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. They're so good. Yep.
So in the dry state, Miss Jackie, water sources become sacred. What is a practically powerful or unexpected place where water defines the beauty, like Havasu Falls or the Salt River?
Yes, yeah, you have, and yeah, the Salt River, that's our source of water, and we also have the Hoover Dam, so that's amazing. The only thing about the Hoover Dam is that you used to be able to, because it borders Nevada and Arizona, you used to be able to drive across the Hoover Dam, but because of security reasons, you can't do that anymore, so now you have to go around it. It's kind of a bummer, because I remember being able to, when I would drive to Las Vegas with friends or with family, we would do that. We would go cross the Hoover Dam, and it was so nice to be able to sometimes get out of your car and actually be like, I'm standing in two states, and you could stand on the state line and actually have 1 foot in Arizona, 1 foot in Nevada. So that was really fun to be like, I'm in two states at once, but you can't do that anymore. So when you drive through, you just have to imagine, okay, I'm in Arizona, now I'm in Nevada. But yeah, so the source of water, yeah, you're right. It's a precious commodity here. And even with, we share some of our water with California. So we always have to make sure they're conserving that. So they have Salt River Project here that helps to make sure that we have enough water for people here, because we've had so many transplants from California come here. So Arizona just continues to grow. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Even where I live still in Metro Phoenix, but I'm not in the Phoenix area per se. I'm more of in the outskirts of Phoenix, but I've been in this area where I live for 22 years, and it just keeps growing. I'm like, how does this happen? It's just all these homes keep going up. So it's like, wow, okay, are we going to have enough water for all this? And are we going to be able to sustain with electricity and all of that? You know, so it's like, whew. But they somehow make it work, and we're able to sustain here in this dry state. So I don't know what they do, but it's amazing. Yeah.
Many think of Arizona as perpetually hot. How does the landscape and its beauty dramatically transform with its season, from spring wildflowers to snow-dusted saharas?
Yes. Yeah, it's really beautiful. I mean, yeah, the summertime is tough. You know, I would say from probably May to mid to end October are the hot seasons, you know, where it's definitely difficult. But I would say June, July, August are where it's at its peak. It's, you know, triple digits. So it's really tough. But, you know, it's a trade-off. You know, we don't get at least not in the Phoenix area, we don't get the snow, although there have been instances of light snow when I was growing up in Phoenix. So it's a rare thing to get that. But yeah, it's a trade-off for sure. But it's really nice, because even if it's hot in the summertime in Phoenix, again, you're only a couple hours drive away, and it's 30 degrees cooler. So that's the nice thing, is unlike, you know, some other areas where you know, in the wintertime, there's snow. There's usually snow everywhere, right? You can't really escape it. You know, if you're back east and it's snowing, it's like, yeah, the whole state's pretty much snowing, so you can't escape it. But at least with the heat, you can escape it. You can go somewhere else. So at least there's that reprieve and that little bit of relief that you can get. So, and then the winters here are just it's worth it. I mean, I think. But again, you know, I'm like, I think as I get older and stuff, and I'm sure other people that are from here can relate to that or have moved here. It just, as you get older, it just gets harder to be in the heat. So I'm hoping I can, you know, make it up further north and get a little bit of that reprieve. And then also just this being born and raised in the city, I think I'm ready for the small town change a little bit. So, yeah.
Yes, because we're getting older, Miss Jackie. Yes.
Yep.
We're getting older. So, Miss Jackie, with the issues like drought, urban sprawl, and climate change, what aspects of Arizona's natural beauty feels most fragile in need of conscious protection?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say probably the saguaro cactus, because you see instances where they've talked about this, where it's kind of in decline. They're not thriving as much. And sometimes it could be because of not getting the good monsoon seasons. We haven't had a good monsoon in several years. I would say probably 4 years or so. When we have that good season of good rain of monsoon, then it helps the saguaro cactus. And saguaro cactus, they've been around for a long time. And so, yeah, so I think it's important to, because it's such an icon of the Southwest. And so I think if we lose the saguaro cactus, that would be tough to lose that. And then I just think the diversity of the animals that we have here, like the roadrunner, you know, and those different creatures that live here, that they call this their home. So I think it's so important. That's why, you know, I'm like, I don't want too many people living here, because, you know, if you have more people living here, then that means you have, the animals resources. Don't have anywhere to go. Yeah. And the resources. So, you know, like where I live, sometimes we've actually seen coyotes out here, because what ends up happening is the, you know, people in the urban areas, just they end up just taking over that area. So yeah, that's always something I'm very conscious about. And I'm like, yeah, we want to make sure we preserve the saguaro cactus and all those animals that are here, and they deserve a home too. So, you know, I want to make sure that they're protected as well. So yeah, so it's really important. Education and getting, you know, just getting people to be aware of it, I think, is so important as well.
So, Miss Jackie, before we wrap up our discussion for today, please do invite our listeners to support your podcast, your upcoming book, or whatever projects that you want to promote on Geography 101.
Sure. So you've got my new website up, Designing with Love. They can go to designingwithloveblog.com, and if they want to be a guest on the podcast, they can just go to that little register as a guest, and they can do that. I even have a voicemail option. So that little microphone there, they can leave a voicemail and it could be featured on an episode. So I really like that I've switched over to this new website. It's really nice. They can also, you know, do the buy me a coffee if they want to support the work. And I'm on LinkedIn, pretty active on there. I've got my YouTube channel. I think I've got over 500 videos on there now, mostly shorts from the episodes and things like that. So so it's really fun to kind of keep all of that ecosystem going. So if anybody wants to support that work, and then my book, I'm hoping to get it to publishers by the end of the month, or maybe early December. I know the holidays are coming up, so I may not get a response before the end of the year, but I'm at least going to try to at least get the feelers out there. And then hopefully by next spring or next summer, depending upon how things go. And if I get a publisher, then who knows, I could have my first book out by middle of next year.
So. Yes, and congratulations. More and more empowering success, Miss Jackie. And people, Miss Jackie will be my official co-host on Bible Verses 101. So tune in for that. We will talk about meaningful verses in the Bible. And Miss Jackie, if you had to pinpoint one single experience, a specific place at a specific time, what captures the souls of Arizona for you, what would it be?
Oh, I would say when I was in college, I went up to the Grand Canyon. I took the trip by myself, no one else. It was just me. I wanted to kind of get away from everything and just be by myself, which probably I wouldn't have. I don't know if I'd do that today, but yeah, it was really fun. I went to the Grand Canyon and I got to just look at it. And every time you see the Grand Canyon, no matter how many times, it's like you're looking at it for the first time. So I would say that was a fantastic trip and I loved it. So it was wonderful. Yeah.
Yes, people, we're featuring Arizona, where Miss Jackie residing right now. So thank you so much, Miss Jackie, for your time, and I see you next week for another great episode on Bible Verses 101. So more to come, people. See you soon.